Elissa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to hour number two right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We absolutely love to hear from all of our listeners. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports, and you can always email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. And I'm telling you what, you better go check out our podcast page, podcastarena.com. Click on the YSR tab. We have had some amazing guests over the past month. Quinn Buckner, we've had Reed Ryan, the president of the Houston Astros. And right now, one of our favorite guests, we're so delighted to have him joining us. Actually, he's usually in studio with us on Friday nights, but he is on the phone line. He gets Friday off. Good evening to Andy Pondillo with our weekly MLB News and Notes.
Well, good to be here, and, you know, season's finally over. It's been a long season, so I'm kind of looking forward to the offseason to see what might happen.
Absolutely. A little bit of downtime. So what were your takeaways? Let's do a recap of the World Series. The Royals win it all. I bet you predicted this at the beginning of the season, right?
No, you know, I actually was one of the people who thought the Royals were going to come down a little bit from last year. They didn't make significant moves in my eyes. I didn't think Kendrys Morales was going to drive in 116. I didn't believe that their starting rotation was going to survive with Yordano Ventura at the top, minus James Shields. But, you know, these guys, they have found a unique way to win baseball games. They've, you know, done it without maybe a true ace. They've done it, you know, without the boppers in the middle of the order that maybe a Blue Jays or an Astros have. And they've done it with depth, fundamental play, stealing bases, spectacular defense. And it really is kind of a unique organization, the way that they've put all this together. And I really can't criticize any of it because it's worked. And now they're going to become a destination where you would think players would want to go play via free agency, whether they spend money, whether they can stretch this success from 2 years to 7 years. You know, that remains to be seen. But right now, within their window, they look like a pretty good organization.
You're listening to the voice of Andy Pondillo with our weekly MLB News and Notes. And just my takeaways, Andy, you know, when you were watching the Royals this season, it seemed like, you know, you almost had to play a perfect game to beat them. And I really think that the Astros were the only team that looked like they could really, you know, handle them.
Yeah, the Astros had them right there. They had them within six outs. It was the eighth inning. It was wrapped up. And, you know, the same punishment was felt from the Blue Jays and from the Mets. You know, the Mets had two games where all they had to do was get the final three outs. You know, this is a completely different series. You're talking about the Mets winning two games. You're talking about the Royals having to stretch their team a little more. And they just, nobody could finish off those Royals. And the Astros were the only team that I felt like you watched them play in that division series, and you felt like the Astros had a very legitimate chance of beating them in the series. I mean, even with the Mets and the Blue Jays, when they did win games, you still didn't get the vibe that they were in control of the series. So really, the Royals,
right,
once they got rolling, once they got their confidence, it felt like it was going to be an impossible team to beat. And it really, it was very reminiscent of what they did last year. I mean, there was, when they were on that run last year, you felt like they, you know, they couldn't be stopped. It was just Madison Bumgarner. They couldn't figure them out. This year, the Mets, they ran out, you know, an array of great starting pitching. They didn't have Madison Bumgarner, though. And, you know, that was probably the difference, is that every single time the Mets made a mistake in the field, every single time they walked a batter or two, it felt like the Royals were going to score in those instances. They were able to make the most out of each situation when the Mets weren't able to do the same.
Do you think, Andy, that the Mets were just overmatched when you look at the talent?
I don't think they were overmatched. I feel like the Mets had a far superior starting pitching rotation. There's at times where they probably appeared to be overmatched. Daniel Murphy had a very tough series after being the hero in the NLCS and NLDS. Yoenis Cespedes, he didn't look like himself. Felt like that high that he had after that trade, that he had some sort of wall in postseason play. And really, they don't have the depth. They have the talent. They don't have the depth that the Royals have. And it was really kind of an offense, I feel like, the Mets put together by Band-Aid. It worked. It got them to where they needed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But they're a team that, more so, even more so than the Royals, they needed to capitalize on each of their opportunities. They just didn't have the depth where you can see them getting on base at 5 out of 9 innings and pressuring the opposition. They're a team that, when they got a couple runners on, they had to maximize those opportunities, give their starting pitching a lead, and go with it. Even with that token, they still have the lead two out of those five games going into the ninth inning, they just couldn't sew them out.
Andy, always an invitation for you to connect with our listeners across the country. Where can they check you out in the off season?
Yes, well, we just resumed the podcast for the Astros. That's Astro Chat on ConnieTalesHill.com. So I'll be trying to figure out how to get through the off season and a lot of new rumors.
Yeah.
You know, that's where we just throw things at the wall and see what happens.
Yes, because I want to ask you here in just a moment, you know, who are the Astros going to be targeting in free agency? But, you know, let's talk about the Kansas City Royals some more. I mean, I find them to be a very interesting team. You know, it's built mainly within. And do you think that their concept of building a champion is one that can be replicated?
Not really. I think this is a very unique situation we have with Kansas City. You know, we see teams that have used this philosophy of building within. You think San Francisco Giants and the team unity they have there over there. You think St. Louis Cardinals. But, you know, these types of teams, they don't exactly spend like the Dodgers, but they do spend on key free agents here and there. They plug the holes. They have depth in the middle of the order traditionally. And you look at the Royals, and this is as homegrown as you're going to find. Now, of course, they piece together a starting rotation. They make the big move for Johnny Cueto, Edinson Volquez. So they have made some outside the organization moves. They haven't necessarily made that move where they bring in the $100 million bat, and they probably will continue not to. So when you run an organization like this, you have to hit on prospect after prospect after prospect, and that can be a very difficult thing to do because when you do go and get a free agent, when you do go get a veteran bat, you know exactly what you're going to get more times than not. It's the back end of the contract that you're scared about. When you bring up prospects, you could get a guy to hit 30 home runs. You could get a guy to bat 210, has to be sent back down to the minors. So they've really hit on their young talent, and that's, you know, you've got to really credit the organization, the scouting, and the guys they've brought in. You know, they've lost a lot in previous years. They've had high draft picks, and that's all good and dandy, but not all teams hit on their draft picks, and the Royals were able to do that. I wouldn't tell any organization to run by their model. I believe in spending money. I believe in building a good farm system and then adding to it. Really, what they've done is miraculous, but, you know, it's just, to me, it's not a blueprint.
Well, the Royals, you're right, Andy. I mean, they achieved this team becoming a champion with spending no money, hardly any money, on free agency talent. How much did they spend coming into the 2015 season? What are we talking about?
Really, they spent a couple dollars here and there. I mean, they did open it up a little bit. So in 2015, Kendrys Morales, Edinson Volquez. But, I mean, these guys were more just taking flyers. Rios comes in. These were guys that had put up big numbers in their past. You know, you give them $8 million here, $6 million here. They didn't go for what we call the kill in free agency, and they just they don't do it. You know, you had James Shields, a guy who came off a decent season last year, was their ace, and he thought, now, would the Royals entertain giving him that four-year deal at $15-16+ million a year? And it just pretty much got gawked at. He went to San Diego. They said we could win without him, and I wondered if that was possible because I didn't see a true ace in that staff. You know, I look at other teams that are going to be running out the David Prices and Dallas Keuchels of the world. I wonder how would you compete versus that. They're able to do that with a fabulous bullpen, able to do that with a fabulous order, and fundamental baseball. It's just a different blueprint. We'll see if it works in the future, but right now they certainly have a good team. These guys, though, are going to get paid eventually. There's too much talent on this team not to.
Andy Pondillo with us tonight right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are inside the Quicken Loan Studios. And, of course, Andy is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. It's always fun when Andy joins us each and every week. So when we think about the offseason, what about the Mets? I mean, what kind of moves do they need to make? Does it need to be dramatic in terms of in the offseason who they need to bring on board?
Well, they've got one of the hard things figured out in the starting rotation, so it gives them a good start, obviously. But you know, Yonas Cespedes, a free agent. Daniel Murphy, a free agent. Now, Cespedes is a guy who should be getting up around $100 million. I'm just not for that. He doesn't get on base enough. Career on base average is under 330, I believe. If not, it's right around that figure. It's not to say he isn't a good player, but I'm not paying $100 million for a good player. I want a great player. Same thing with Daniel Murphy. You could see him getting $70, $75 million in the free agent market. I don't know if the Mets value these guys that high. So how do they reconstruct that offense? An offense that was, you know, the worst in the National League for a lot of the year before the last 2 months of the season where they figured it out. Is David Wright, is he going to have a healthy season again? There's a lot of question marks offensively for the Mets. I think they're going to have to do some fancy work maneuvering this team with free agency. Maybe you turn around this offense, you bring in a Jason Hayward maybe, you're looking at Justin Upton. There's some guys out there, and the Mets are not, you know, a complete low-market team. We've seen their spending go up and down through the years, through Omar Minaya to Sandy Alderson. You know, how do they want to go about it? I'm not real sure what their organizational philosophy is right now, but obviously they're going to have to do a lot of work fixing that middle of the order if they can't retain their free agents.
Okay, so the Royals win it all, but the 2015 season, Andy, I'm sure you'll agree, it was just so much fun to watch it unfold. I mean, we think about the Cubs, the Mets, the Astros, the Rangers. All of those teams exceeded expectations this year.
Yeah, there's a lot of different changes when it comes to MLB this season. You know, the years of seeing the Cardinals and the Giants to kind of change this year, and it's been fun. You know, you see a rise of young talent. You see them getting to the stage a lot earlier than a lot projected. But now, you know, once we head to 2016, do they hit the sophomore slump? Do they continue to grow? You know, there's no guarantees. We've seen a Washington Nationals team in 2012 that a lot of people thought were just beginning, that they got to the division series and these guys were only going to get better. And that really hasn't been the case. So, you know, it's been fun, but it's a new year next year. These guys can go a lot of different directions, and I'm really curious how these teams start to spend. The Cubs, you know, obviously a big market over there. They fill Wrigley Field. They've been known to spend money on free agents. Do they go for it all next year? The Astros, it's been so long since they've been competitive. Do they start to go for it all? And really, you know, you can't predict what a lot of these teams are going to do because the book really isn't out on a lot of these teams and how they're going to spend.
Always so much fun going around the horn visiting with Andy Pondillo with our weekly MLB news and notes. And you know, Andy, and I'm not going to give you too much downtime because there's so much more I want to get into. We didn't have a chance to touch on Zach Greinke. He's opted out of his contract with the Dodgers. We want to talk about that. And also who potentially could be the best fit in the manager slot for the Dodgers. So we'll get into that next week, okay?
Sounds good.
That, of course, was Andy Pondillo with our weekly MLB news and notes. And right now it is time to thank all of our amazing guests and our lineup. Our producer from YSR, Joe George, Nancy Lieberman, assistant coach with the Sacramento Kings, Christine Brennan, columnist with USA Today. We also took time for a very special interview that we replayed, the president of the Houston Astros, Reed Ryan. And tonight we're going to do something special for all of our listeners out there, the Exergen Temporal Artery Thermometer. It is the perfect thermometer for your family. It helps you to take temperatures accurately and easily. My first two callers at 1-800-777-2907, 1-800-777-2907. Our first two callers will receive a free Exergen temporal artery thermometer. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest, the best in sports right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show.